I'd like to turn to three scriptures. The first one is in the first epistle to Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Faithful is the word, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. Next, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, Gospel according to John, chapter 10, and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them life eternal, and they shall never perish. No one shall seize them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can seize out of the hand of my Father. And in chapter 7 of the same Gospel, Gospel according to John chapter 7 and verse 37, in the last, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he said concerning the Spirit, which they that believed on him were about to receive. For the Spirit was not yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. I desire to say something this evening about three of the blessings that God has in his heart for mankind. There are many blessings. God has a wonderful store. But the three blessings that I wish to speak about now are salvation, security, and satisfaction. They're all centered in the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. As another has said, we preach not ourselves, but our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is my desire to so speak about our Lord Jesus Christ, that these great blessings may become a reality to everyone under the sound of the gospel. Not only this gospel, but every gospel. That there might be a great return of precious souls receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Saviour. There are many problems besetting the world tonight. The most pressing problem, I suppose, is this question of the disease, this virus, this COVID virus. Not often that such a thing, a pandemic, prevails everywhere. But this has happened, and it's a great burden upon the nations of the world to find an answer, to find a remedy. Well, something might be coming available, but there's so much uncertainty about its effectiveness and about its long-lasting usefulness that many are nervous, many are uncertain about how the future will hold. But there's a greater problem among the nations of the world today than COVID. I was reading some statistics the other day about people who've been affected. For example, in the UK, there are approximately 1.3 million people tested positive for COVID. And the population is about 66 million in the UK. Now everyone in the UK, 66 million, are affected by a greater problem than COVID. And that is the great issue of sin. Same thing applies worldwide. The world population is about 7.8 million persons. And there are 53 million affected by COVID in the world. But all those 66 million, or 7.8 billion as the case may be, are all affected by the great issue of sin. That's the great matter that we're facing today. Scripture is clear. Romans chapter 3 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wonderful thing is, in the gospel, that there is an answer to that. Men might try to find their own answer, but they cannot. But God has provided the answer in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So our first scripture, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. A wonderful sentence, very powerful sentence. He came into the world to save sinners. How wonderful to think of that incoming of the Lord Jesus. A lowly way, coming in as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. No great pomp and ceremony that many a child benefits from these days as coming in. But Jesus came in such lowliness. How we wonder at the stoop of the Lord Jesus coming into manhood. But he came that way in view of meeting the great issue stood between God and man, God and his creature. He came into the world to save sinners. His life was perfect, a life of wonderful devotion and self-sacrificial love and grace towards mankind. The days of his service are so precious to read about in the Gospels. At your leisure, read about his grace in healing and blessing and feeding and teaching the Lord Jesus here among men in such lowliness. Think of his wondrous sacrifice in the time he spent, long days healing and helping and teaching and feeding. But the life of the Lord Jesus was not in itself the answer to the great question of sin. Such was the gravity of the issue that it involved the Saviour going into death. The question of sin had raised a great issue, a great challenge against God's holy throne. And for that challenge to be met, a perfect sacrifice was necessary. And the Lord Jesus, in devotion to God's holy will, had to go to the cross to meet the great issue of sin in God's sight. Not as man saw it. Man sometimes excuses and belittles sinful things. But God has a perfect assessment of sin. It's a challenge to his holy throne. And only one perfect sacrifice could meet that challenge and satisfy God's claims of holiness. And God has been fully glorified in the work that the Lord Jesus undertook. He suffered the indignities and the terrible hatred of man. He suffered the most awful miscarry of justice. From the record we know that Pilate realized that Jesus was innocent of the charges brought against him. He also knew that the Jews had delivered the Lord Jesus up through envy. We also know that the Lord Jesus was hated without a cause. It was a terrible thing that one innocent, one perfect, one glorious man should be thus treated. But he went to the cross. It was by that means that sinners could be saved, come into the great blessings of salvation. And on that cross hung one sinless, spotless, blessed man. And yet he was forsaken, forsaken of God. He'd known the most wonderful communion with his God. And yet on the cross, so deep was the issue of sin in God's sight that Jesus was forsaken. No wonder the sun was darkened, central witness to God's power in creation, when the faithful and true witness cried to his God and there was no answer. He said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What can this mean? It means because God was holy and Jesus was meeting in those hours of darkness the whole issue of God's wrath and judgment against sin. How much it cost the Saviour. People talk nowadays about the cost of all that's happening in the world, but think about the cost to the Saviour. He should be forsaken. He should die alone. Firstly, his followers, his disciples, says after the Lord was arrested in the garden, they deserted him. But then on the cross, God forsook him. What that distance must have meant to the Lord Jesus. Another scripture comes to mind. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's Peter. Took upon himself the great issue and burden of sins. How great that was. But that God should be glorified, Jesus went through the forsaking. We're also told in another scripture that him, Jesus, who knew not sin, God has made sin for us. Not only were sins born and the judgment faced, but Jesus was made sin. The very issue, the very source, the very central point from which sins emanate. We sadly commit sins because we are sinners. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. His blood was shed. We love to think about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. In a wanton act of violent hatred, the sword went into his body, but out flowed blood and water. Think of that precious blood as the answer, God's answer to the need of every repenting sinner. We love to think about the thousands that have come into the great blessing and benefit of the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. And tonight, as we think about the precious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, I do pray that many might come to the conviction of sinfulness and simply come in repentance, acknowledging wrong, coming to the blessed Saviour, whose precious blood cleanses from all sin. It's the answer. It's God's answer. Not man's, God's answer. But it's God's answer to the sinner's need. We think of the preciousness of the blood of Jesus. And then he died. There were two great cries on the cross, if you read the gospel record. He cried as he went into death, second cry. What a death that was, with a view to ending that order of man forever, who could never please God. He did that vicariously, on our account, not on his own, but on our account, in order that God might have pleasure in an order of man out of death. And the Lord Jesus, having completed the work, crying, "It is finished." All was done. Nothing more needed to be done. As we read in our scripture, Paul is saying, "I am the first or the chief of sinners." If the chief of sinners can be saved as he was, all under the sound of my voice can be saved tonight. Enjoy the blessed privilege and joy of salvation in believing on our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only Saviour. and I commend him to you as being available tonight to be your Saviour, to bring in all the joys of salvation, to be free of the burden of your sinful history, things you've said, things you've done, lies, acts of thieving, cheating, disobedience. These are sins in God's sight. We may trifle with these things, but they are sins. And to be free of them, we must come in simple repentance, acknowledging that God has been right, and the Saviour in his precious death and shed blood has met the great issue to God's eternal glory and satisfaction. And faith in his person, faith in his work, can secure the great blessings of salvation for time and eternity. Now in John chapter 10, this brings in the great thought of security. The Lord Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give them life eternal, and they shall never perish, never perish. No one shall seize them out of my hand." Security, guarantees. The Lord Jesus knows you. If you've come to him in faith, he knows you as your own Saviour. He knows you to follow him. Seek to do what is pleasing to himself rather than do our own wills, but seek to do his will down here. "I give them life eternal. They shall never perish. No one shall seize them out of my hand." Think of the eternal security of that. It's a guarantee. I couldn't give you a greater guarantee than that. The Lord Jesus has you safe. "No one shall seize them out of my hand." Evidently the Lord anticipated that there might be influences, personalities that might try to seize, but you're safe, eternally safe in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and of the Father. The Lord says, "My Father, and no one can seize out of the hand of my Father." It's very wonderful to me that the Lord Jesus, having gone into death, is risen again in glorious power. God eternally satisfied and glorified in the work he has done. Raised him from the dead, crowned him with glory and honour, and no one can seize out of the hand of the Father, as indeed out of the Lord's hand. "I shall never perish." What a wonderful promise that is. Never perish. You'll be his for time and eternity. Precious, wonderful privilege to belong to the Lord Jesus, to know that he can save and keep and protect you from the dangers of the way. We each have to go our pathways through this world, and dangers abound, but we shall never perish. Give them life eternal. Wonderful that is, the abiding, precious knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our gracious God and Father. Wonderful relationships. Really, things that don't belong to this world at all. They're out of the world, heavenly condition of relationships and joys that eternal life brings us into. What a privilege it is to thus be kept safe and secure by the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 7, we have the Lord Jesus crying. He stood and cried. He was in Jerusalem. It was at the close of one of the feasts of the Jews, the Feast of Tabernacles. The last day was traditionally the great highlight of the year, the final feast and the great highlight of the year, the final day. Jesus stood and cried. He knew the thirst in the people. He knows the thirst in your soul tonight. He wants to bring you into satisfaction. It's a great matter to come to the Lord Jesus and believe in him. As he says here, "He that believes on me." I do desire that you might come to the Lord Jesus and believe on him. Put your trust in him. Thirsty souls today many thirsty souls. Think of the entertainment, the sport, the culture, the activities that are provided for people seeking satisfaction. There was a man, a Scotsman, who entertained the masses in these great music halls of Scotland. But he came at the end of his life to this assessment. He said, "Laugh, and the world laughs with you. Weep, and you weep alone." That's very sobering. But the Lord Jesus promises satisfaction. "He that believes on me," as the scripture has said. Wonderful thing to just come in faith to the Lord Jesus. And as the verse goes on to say, the Lord Jesus was speaking here about the gift of the Holy Spirit, who was going to come when Jesus went up into glory, having completed the great work on the cross and having gone into glory. The Holy Spirit was going to come and to be a great gift to persons who had come to Jesus in faith, trusting in him, believing on him. There'd be an inward source of satisfaction, not the pleasures of the world, which are but for a season, but deep down satisfaction, a flow of living water. Well, these things are very precious. And as I said, these blessings, salvation, security, and satisfaction are alone found in the precious work of our Lord Jesus Christ and in his person. I commend him to you tonight. You might come, not doubting, but coming in faith, trusting in him, the one who alone can save, the one who alone can bring you into the wonderful blessings of God's heart for you. May you come. May you not delay. Just come. The time is propitious. God is available. His hands are outstretched in blessing and favour towards you. Come to Jesus and receive these great blessings in the heart of God for you, for his name's sake.